Earthlings, we have now taken over your radio.
Hello and welcome in to Jayhawk Talk Radio. I'm Kevin Meckley. We have Andrew Payne in the house. Our dude, Beckett Rasmussen, new producer tonight. Beckett is holding it down behind the glass. Look, we got a big, fun show tonight, Andrew. I don't know if you know this, but in the house tonight, they'll be joining us in segment two, is the KU, what do they call him, the Scoopsmeister? I'm pretty sure that's a self-proclaimed title, right? Scoopsmeister?
Scoopy. Scoopsmeister.
We got Mike Vernon joining us. So that'll be exciting. He'll be joining us on segment two, so stick around for that. We also have, from Barstool, Bobby Riggs joining us. Excited for that. Dude knows his hoops. And we are going to talk all kinds of fun stuff about the Hawks. And Andrew, the good news about everything here is we got the monkey off our back. The Hawks are now road warriors. Yes or no?
Oh, we just needed some time, Kevin. We have some time this week. You and I needed some time. You know,
we did.
A-10 gave us some time off because the Chiefs happened to win a bowl game.
Oh, that little thing?
The Jayhawks win a bowl game. The Chiefs win a bowl game. That's what they call it, right?
So, yeah.
They wanted to talk about some Chiefs. So, you know, it gave us, you and I, an opportunity to rest our voices a little bit, to come up with some sharp takes, to come up with some solid predictions for the rest of the season. And just like you and I, the Hawks are ready.
I think the Hawks are ready. The good news is, and we've talked about this a little bit, of how what it takes to be a good road team. And what does it take, Andrew? It takes a couple things. It takes a tight huddle, right? It takes, talk about a tight huddle. You know, the fans are yelling at you. You get a little tighter, a little tight huddle. Well, tight huddles aren't made overnight. It takes a little time to get a tight huddle. And we got a lot of new guys on this team. You got Furfeet starting now. You can't have a tight huddle until Furfeet knows English.
You need freshmen to come sophomores.
That's
they
right.
They got to grow up a little bit.
They got to grow up a little bit.
And you know what? Furfeet's grown up a little bit.
Furfeet's grown up a little. He learned English.
Marco, we're getting there.
Lamarcus getting there. We'll see y'all.
They got to grow. You know, freshmen got to become sophomores.
You got to become sophomores. What else
do you
need?
You got to become a veteran-laid group. Kevin McCullough, not worried about him on the road. But the rest of these guys, got to raise all boats.
Well, here's what else you need. You need momentum killers. And you know what that is, right? When you got a little lead on the road and you got to keep the crowd out of it, they start a run. And then you go down and you make a three, and the crowd just goes.
Dunks and three pointers.
That's correct.
Dunks
That's
and three pointers are momentum
killers.
We've got the dunks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's KJ. KJ can throw one down and silence a crowd probably better than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
McCullough, not really occasionally. So you really got to rely on KJ, maybe a little bit elsewhere. But three pointers. Struggling with. So Furphy's going to be your guy on the momentum killer.
That's what I'm saying. And now, hopefully, Kevin, hopefully he's
getting
healthy.
We're just figuring out these tools, opening up the box.
All I know is you don't need to be a road warrior team to start the year. You need to learn how to become a road warrior team. Unless you bring everyone back and you're just a solid, strong team who's been together for a long time. That's not the case here. You got to learn to be a road team, and they have learned to be a road team.
You're telling me
we're not going to lose again on the road.
We've lost. We've won three road games.
Well,
this season,
yeah,
I think we're there.
Look again.
I think we're there.
You can't just it's not out of the gate thing. Bill Self can't walk in and be like, "You guys are going to be a great road team." They can't just do that. You got to learn it.
All right. So we went on the road. We won at Oklahoma, a ranked team. By
Let's not forget. Lest we forget, Oklahoma was a ranked team,
ranked road win. Hey, that's
kind of
that counts for a lot.
They're fine. They're a tournament team. They're not. They're fine.
You know, well, let's go back. Get to go to Oklahoma a little bit. Oklahoma, I think, was an important win because
it's huge.
Not only for the season, it was a proof of concept that can this team be more than just a home team? And I think it was. This was a win. It was necessary. The other part of it is Oklahoma's leaving the Big 12. You don't want to leave on that note. You don't want to leave on that note. So you got to get that win. That's mostly for me.
More for you?
That was for the team and the season. You
got
seeding.
The full
it's for me.
Oklahoma sweep, by the way, if you think about it.
No.
We had 2-0 in basketball. Win the football game.
Man,
they're going out with their tail between their legs. They deserve to get out of here.
We can always hold that over them.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, remember that final year you were in the Big 12?
Yeah.
How did that go again? I can't remind me how that went. I don't remember.
So anyway, so you go on the road. You go into the wasteland of the Big 12 and just desolate the Sooners. It wasn't like that. But then we come home to the Thunderdome.
By 10.
We've got two games in the Thunderdome before we have the final battle in the third movie in this trilogy.
I'm not following this analogy.
This is a Mad Max analogy.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
So Thunderdome's the second
not up to
movie.
My Mad Max.
And then you have the third movie.
Got it.
So anyway, we're going to come. We got Baylor. We got K-State. And you have Houston.
What in that analogy,
what a way
do we
to
win?
Close. Oh, the good question. Depends on who we are.
Okay. I don't want to know.
But anyway, yes. So we close out the season. What a five-game close to this season. I'm incredibly excited for it. But we've got Texas this weekend. We've got BYU next Tuesday. And then you close with Baylor, K-State, Houston. What a way to go out.
That is a way to go out. The good news, Andrew, we've had some time, a little bit of get-well time, which I think this team needed. We've seen Kevin McCullough sit out a little bit. We understand he has remained sitting out this week. And I say, good for him. Take a little break. You know, get that bone bruise all less bruised up. Bone bruises can linger. That's not a fun thing to have. And I think a little break is good for him. And we haven't had that, you know, 3 games in 6 days thing going on. We've had this nice long break. It was very timely. And hopefully we can get not just him, but I think we had a few other bumps and bruises on the team.
Let me give you a question on the Kevin McCullough issue. Okay, I think there were seasons in the past, and we'll just call it recent history of, you know, Bill Self's 20-year reign here. Been a lot of times in the middle of February here where the Big 12 race was in question, where it required a little bit more sense of urgency and some dudes stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
Some I remember Tyshawn Taylor fighting through a meniscus tear,
mm-hmm.
you know, right when the season started. Like, oh, you know, without him out there, Big 12 is up for grabs or we could potentially lose it. He fights through it. Lots of injuries like that. Here we are in the middle of February. We're not fighting for a streak other than one,
mm-hmm.
one to turn into two. Do you, as a fan, feel as much pressure, or should the team feel as much pressure to deliver that Big 12 win?
No.
Or are you okay with, okay, Kevin's got to get healthy.
Everyone needs to get healthy for the games that matter. These games don't matter. Really? I mean, it matters for seeding.
But there were times in the past where you and I have said these games do matter.
They do matter because we need to keep the streak alive. The streak is dead. We don't have to worry about the streak. We just need to get healthy for the games that matter the most. That is where I'm at. If Kevin ain't right, he shouldn't be playing. He needs to get right for the games that matter.
What if that meant playing on that second day in the Big 12 tournament as a 5 seed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
Been a while since that ever.
So we've got a new Big 12 tournament format. The first 4 seeds get the bye all the way to the quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the 5 seed, you got to play on that extra day.
Yeah. Honestly, again, that game doesn't matter either.
Okay. I just want to know where you're at.
That's where I'm at. The games that matter the most are the ones that happen after Selection Sunday. Those are the ones that matter to me now. In this season, like, think about this season. What are your expectations for this season? And do you think there's still ceiling basketball to come for this team? And if we think that there's a potential ceiling to be hit, if we think that there's a chance the Jayhawks can rise up and come down, you know, to the chance where they can cut down some nets in March, things have to happen that are not happening now, and that means getting healthy and playing well at the right time.
If there's any consensus about Kansas this year, and I don't think that there is much about it from a national perspective or even local, but the Kansas consensus seems to have emerged that the top five for the Jayhawks are as good or better than anybody.
Starting five. Put up against anybody,
starting
right?
Starting five.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Huh?
When you start to mix and match some of the bench guys, well, when the efficiency goes down, and we're including Furphy now. You know, we talked about this core four.
We have to include Furphy.
Yeah. Core four for the longest time. And now we're talking the five. You include the five, you know, teams that do well in the tournament, you know, have five guys. You don't have to have a deep bench.
These are long timeouts.
Are we starting to have these conversations to where here we are? We've got
yes.
five guys. We're
That's all you need.
What if you were a five seed in the tournament?
You need five guys and a coach. We learned that last year. You need a coach. You need five guys and a head coach.
Yeah.
But yes, we need a coach and we need five guys. At the end of the day, Andrew, look down and you see two potential All-Americans, and not first team probably at this point, but somewhere in the All-American conversation, right? Well, you got that.
Sure, they're in the conversation. How it shakes out is
we'll see, but they're in the conversation.
Right.
The new addition to this recipe for a national championship team, you got two guys who are in an All-American conversation. That's not counting the potential lottery pick that's also on the team, who now, as of, you know, recently we're starting to see some drafts, Johnny Furphy is entering the lottery discussion. So you now have two All-American guys, and we're talking about guys who've not just, you know, rookies. These guys have been around the block. They know how to win in March. They've seen it. They've been there. They see what it's like. The lights are not going to be too bright. And then you got the potential new guy, the new blood coming in, and Johnny Furphy. How is it possible that this team can't be good in March when you have those three things? I don't care who the other two guys are. Oh, by the way, those two guys, they've won a national championship.
That's right. Those are the two left over.
Those are the two who've won a national championship.
And arguably one of the best point guards this program has ever seen. And the other guy can dunk.
He can dunk. He's really good at dunking.
He can throw it down.
And he shoots
70% from the field.
Well, yeah. As long as it's, you know, inside a few feet.
Yeah. You don't have to convince me on the top five.
Okay.
I don't think that you have to convince many people on the top five. It's when you have to go beyond that is when you get into the weeds a little bit, Kevin. But I'm here.
I don't think there's
no ceilings.
No, hashtag no ceilings.
Hashtag no ceilings.
Hashtag no ceilings on
no
the team.
No ceilings. But no, this is it, Kevin. I mean, it's interesting to know this fan pressure that the fans are putting on the team. I don't think that's there with this. If Houston wins the Big 12, I don't think anyone's too bad.
The expectations are low, which is wild for a two seed.
Yeah.
Like, the expectations are low. It's relative. You know, it's all relative.
Let's make it to the tournament.
Freaking spoiled
healthy.
KU fans. Right. You're spoiled.
We kind of talked about everything that we're going to talk about just in that 12-minute segment.
Yeah, we're out of here now.
But here we are. We are going to be joined by Mike Vernon next. Vernon's going to give us some good takes on the rest of the season.
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, there's a lot to come from Vernon. He's got some stuff going on this weekend we're going to talk about. And, you know, other than that, there's more Jayhawks to talk about. So we'll be right back right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Andrew, our first ever guest in studio is sitting right across from me. Did you know that?
That's interesting. We've only been on the phone.
Uh-huh.
We've had a little Zoom action.
We've had some Zoom. We've
weird.
Had some other ways.
This is weird to see someone here asking questions.
He's joined us from California. He came all the way back from California just for this, I'm pretty sure. I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, I flew off the plane just to see your face in the studio.
You know him as the KU Woj. You know him as the Scoops Meister. These are all self-proclaimed titles.
Singular. Okay. Yeah, all self-proclaimed.
He's the agitator of local sports programs and coaches. I know that. He's good at that, especially down the way on I-70.
It takes a special skill.
It does take a special skill. We are joined by Mike Vernon. What's going on, Mike?
Who chooses the music, the intro music?
That was all Beckett. Beckett
beautiful.
Beckett has given a nod to that.
I love that.
I like that, too.
I'm thrilled to be here. Honestly, I've been listening to you guys forever. This is my first time on Jayhawk Talk.
Defined ever.
How long have you been going?
2012.
You're the OGs.
2012.
Yeah, I've been listening since 2012. Your 2018 music playlist to drive to the Final Four, I still play it.
Oh, that was Andrew.
I'm a real one.
Yeah. That still gets some.
So this is big.
Listen, those must all be you.
Oh, it's just me.
Okay.
Every day on repeat. Yeah. Happy to be here, though. This is awesome.
Awesome, man. So you are all the way out here. You're going to the Texas game. Is this the first game you've been back to in a while?
Yeah, first game since I started KU Hearings.
Okay, so it's a couple years then, right?
Couple years. Home field. Thank you to Home Field Apparel. They're bringing me out here. We're throwing a party for the return at the bowl. I haven't been to Lawrence in 3-4 years since before things changed in the world.
What do we need to catch him up on? We need to catch the lights.
Yeah, there are lights.
You like
what do you mean lights? Oh, in the stadium.
In the stadium. Yeah. And now we'll feel those. It's like the blue and red.
You like the lights.
Yeah, those are cool. What else is there?
I'm excited for the lights.
There's a bar inside Allen Fieldhouse.
Love that.
Yeah. You got to get the invite to that.
Accessible to everyone or no?
No.
No.
I got you.
No.
We got you.
Okay.
What else?
That's about
that's
it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, oh, there's a bar and lights.
It's a tradition. Like, you don't want it to change too much.
You don't
want to
mess around too much.
Of course not. No, I want to be in my seat early, hear the band go.
That's right.
Get a lap in. See the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it'll be great.
So tell me what you're doing. So you obviously have
what is it you do?
You
here?
Have a day job, why? Mike. You have a day job, but you are I've got your ear to the ground, and you're just sharing information. So like, how did you come up with this? How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah, it happened organically. My background is in journalism. I worked at the student newspaper. I worked at the San Francisco Chronicle out of college. I was at Bleacher Report for a long time. So I'm trained in journalism, and a few years back when Jeff Long was Kansas's athletic director.
We don't talk about Jeff Long here.
This in Les Miles. Les Miles was the football coach.
We don't
really
talk about any of those guys. This is a Les Miles free zone, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the offensive coordinator, Brett Dierman.
Dierman. Yeah, we do talk about Dierman from time to time.
Pro Dierman.
Pro Dierman.
He left for Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah.
Middle Tennessee State. That was a strange moment. And I was asking a lot of questions, like, why am I not reading about this being odd anywhere? So the local outlets were kind of saying, hey, nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
And I started asking around. Turned out there was something to see here. And the football program was once again in bad shape. And the athletic department was in peril. So I just started tweeting out what I was hearing. And, you know, was confident and able to find people that I trust. And felt like KU fans deserved a good and true picture of what was happening. An informed fan base is a good fan base. Donates to NIL.
Hmm.
Things like that. And so was able to just kind of spread the word and made it a newsletter, email newsletter and website. And it's been awesome.
I remember the day that you were talking about the newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
It was when Twitter was getting shut down.
Yeah, everyone decided Twitter was done.
And Andrew and I were like, we should start a newsletter. And you're like, I should start a newsletter, too. We got like eight email addresses, and you have like 14,000. So you did better than us. We got a little more initiative than we got.
We got like maybe like 13, but it was.
We didn't put a lot of effort into it. You, on the other hand,
I was quicker on the
went
draw.
Went all in, yeah. And I think it's been awesome to watch, man. It's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I used to get in trouble when I was only tweeting, so now I can elaborate a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Gives me a little space to stay out of trouble.
It gives you a sense of infrastructure, right?
I need that.
It gives you this guy's just not just blasting things out from his phone. He's
in long form.
Got
you got a little
background. Classy veneer.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
A Google. Yeah.
The scoops man.
Images. You go, oh, it's this guy. Mm-hmm. Ah, he's back again. There's a lot of things that you've done, and obviously providing information is one, but you're probably one of the only non-university connected advocates as big as you are for NIL. And participating in NIL. So kind of tell me what you've been doing there, and have you seen any success?
Yeah, this has been amazing. What I generally try to do for KU is figure out what's really important, even if it's going good or poorly at KU, for KU, and spread the word. Tell people, let them know, hey, this is what matters. And NIL matters like the most right now. It matters a lot. It matters a lot, especially for KU football. And KU was kind of lacking in the grassroots department. KU fans have probably the benefit of this is like KU's got some great top-level donors. With NIL, everyone makes a difference to a level that we're not really used to as KU fans. So, you know, $1,000 from 10 people, that's a big deal for KU in NIL.
Sure.
$10,000 total for a $500 million football stadium doesn't quite move the needle the same way. So this is where kind of all of us can come together, make a difference. I sent out an email newsletter about this, and we raised over $36,000 for KU's NIL.
Just from one email?
In a week. Yeah, I followed up, I guess, so. Well, like
sure.
Two.
All right. 1 week.
But and only from people replying. I just said,
randos.
If you donate now, reply. Randos. It was incredible. It blew me away.
That's awesome.
And so we're hopefully moving the needle in a good way for KU, and this stuff matters. It matters a lot. It matters a lot to the football coach.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. It's not going away, right? I mean, we may see things happen to change the rules a little bit. We may see some organization. We may see something that changes the game a little. But the thing that will be the through line is we're going to need money.
This is the new world. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it stretches athletic departments really thin, generally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because now it's like two streams of donations. You right. know, where do you go? Everyone can make a difference with NIL. It adds up.
So you're out there in California, but you feel a connection, obviously, to Lawrence. You feel a connection to KU. And how does it feel to be, you know, going back to the field house tomorrow?
The happiest place on earth.
Okay.
Sound
I can tell
house.
You're jacked. You got a little twinkle in your eye.
Oh,
you are ready for this.
Yeah.
The happiest place on earth is not in Anaheim, California.
No. No, I've
right.
been there.
That's
I
right.
live there. Around there.
In Lawrence, Kansas.
Forget the castles. We got the barn.
You know, Allen yeah. Fieldhouse, happiest place on earth, unless you get a couple bad calls.
Mm.
But like that's gotta be in the second half.
Yeah, well the good news is they have to be actually bad calls and
right.
not just calls. That's the one thing I love about Allen Fieldhouse is usually the boos don't come unless it's an egregious foul.
It's a happy place. It's generally a happy place.
Well, we're gonna be playing Texas. The last game of Texas, last game of the Longhorns.
Get him out of here.
Allen Fieldhouse. Mm. Are there any hearings, and this would be like student rumblings, of whether there's any HD work going on? And we can't say.
Yeah, we don't use the term HD. It's one of those terms that the FCC.
You can't say it on the radio.
You can't say like 13 words. Hey, get ready to use the dump button. Do you know how to use the dump button?
Yeah, it's.
Okay, if I said horns down, dump it, horns down, dump that.
Yeah,
Beckett's on it, yeah.
We can't say
we
that on the
radio. We don't say horns, we use HD around here.
Yeah.
We say HD instead of, you
and
know,
even then, it's like a little dicey about yeah. what
you'll
you
write
say.
Him a check, Kevin.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah. yeah. I'm writing somebody a check. I just got fined, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So is there, I mean,
just
we
don't
see,
say
we want to see some HD work in Allen Fieldhouse.
Is there going to be anything with HD? HD.
Like a planned, there's going to be a ton of HD.
Is there going to be some HD?
There's going to be HD everywhere.
I just want to, that's all I ask, is that we have just a little bit of coordination on some HD.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
We can organize that.
Okay.
We'll be at the bowl from 12 to 4 on Saturday.
Okay, there you go.
Get a couple Coors license and folks start making some HD posters.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, you know.
We can organize.
I guess Missouri several years ago, we had the big John Brown.
Yeah, sure.
That's
poster?
Actually genius.
Let's
yeah.
do a giant
massive,
HD.
We
massive
need
horns down.
HD. Yeah, whoa. You can't say that.
You'll cover me, right?
You can't say that. You gotta
you'll cover
HD.
That.
Your next newsletter,
Beckett
you've got to raise
there
money to pay
pounding on the dump button. We don't say horns down around here. We say HD because it's a bad word.
The KU Herrings community and family
yeah.
will help
I mean,
me.
People are very
I need
nervous
help.
About this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I'd love to see a massive show of that
of the HD
yes.
Oh, good.
Yes,
you're learning good.
Yeah,
that would be
poorly.
Something we should definitely, but we kind of joke, we should 100%
like
coordinate
Thursday
that.
Before Saturday game. Can this
you
happen
can
this?
Still get Sharpies and signs. It's like
you can't kick them all out.
They can't kick
can
them
I,
all out.
You know, I the Just Load the Wagon banner was my creation, and it came together pretty
Look
last
this
minute.
Guy.
So hey, here we go.
That's a hard humble. Not
that's,
a humble brag.
That's not a hard, just
that's
hard.
A hard. That's a brag.
That's a full-on
but
brag.
But it's cool. I haven't seen it.
Oh,
it
is pretty
it's
cool.
No, it's my brainchild.
Yeah.
That's
up.
Pretty cool.
So I just was DMing Barstool KU and students, basically, to please someone
please
make
do
this.
This.
And I found
it
someone.
Looks,
and,
it looks
yeah.
good. It looks great.
They did a nice job. Very cool.
They may have redone it. I don't know. Look,
I think they
redo
did.
It. Yeah. Yeah, it's now like, you know, a nicer version of it, but yeah.
But like, I'm excited to see that. And why can't we do it again? Because that was pretty last minute.
HD. Here we go.
All right, good.
I mean, we
to the many students
Texas
on
out.
Thursday night in Lawrence right now listening.
Yeah.
Please do this.
I just got flipped off by Beckett, but it's the same thing. He did the horn, the HD sign with his hands. I take that as an offense. Oh, he just did it again. Oh, my gosh. If he would only see. I'm glad we're on radio and not on TV. Because
we don't
be
do that
flipping
at Texas.
The bird. We'd be flipping the horn
it's
to everybody. It's just so disrespectful.
And if there's anything about Allen Fieldhouse, it's about respect.
It's about respect.
You watch right. that video. You will watch that pregame video.
You will watch that video.
And you will respect everything
right.
that happens.
We've got Texas coming up on Saturday. We're going to have some more conspiring going on during the rest of this show. We've got another segment here. Mike, do you want to stick around and talk about Johnny Furphy?
Do you know Johnny Furphy?
Do you know anything about
Johnny Furphy?
Do you want to
stick around?
Can I?
You can stick around for Johnny
Furphy. Do you like to talk about Johnny Furphy as much as we do?
Yes, that's
okay,
the only thing
perfect.
I think about all day.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Johnny Furphy right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in. Dude, Beckett is killing it. Welcome back in to Jayhawk Talk Radio. We got Mike Vernon in studio here, and he wanted to stick around for another segment because he heard we're talking about Johnny MF and Furphy. It's Furphy class. It's Furphy talking. Now, I will say, we have talked about Johnny Furphy more than any player on the KU basketball team this season. Is that accurate, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, our first show with 810 this year, I think, was just about Johnny
I think
Furphy.
It was mostly all about Johnny Furphy.
It was just about Johnny Furphy. And there's going to be a lot of stats thrown around, a lot of metrics, and a lot of like, hey, Johnny does this and Johnny does that. Yeah, but I want to tell you the most important metric that I've come across for Johnny Furphy, and it's probably higher than any KU basketball player in recent memory, and I'll let you take issue with it if it's not correct. But it's number of references to Johnny Furphy in KU camping group names.
Ooh, I like that.
So the
that.
KU
I like
camping
that a lot.
Group Twitter account publishes the names of the camping group for most of the games. But when you look and go through, you have your typical whatever. But it was like 60-70% Furphy related.
And you think about this for just a second. I want to just... Grady Dick was the big one last year,
that
right?
That was what I thought you would take issue with.
But then we have another version of Grady Dick this year in Hunter Dickinson. And this goes to show that Furphy's that much more important.
The power of the Furphy.
He's overcoming the Dickinson part.
Transcending all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it's funny because he's Australian and he's came out of nowhere. But
he looks like he's... 12.
Yeah, sure.
Like more than normal. He might be 12.
But anyway, in terms of that metric, like that's just electric.
That's a great metric.
It doesn't equate to stats. The stats will be there. The stats are there. But just, I want to point that out, is that beyond anybody, you know, Devontae always had a lot, but that was kind of spread out with that team.
Yeah.
This, though.
T-Rob was pretty popular. Morris Twins.
Withy had a run.
Dooley had a run. Little Dooley run. Tell me about your thoughts on Johnny Furphy, Michael. What do you got for us?
First of all, that metric is number one.
Like that metric.
Camping group metric. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Good barometer for campus.
Put that one in your head. I like that a lot.
Yeah, keep that. Please keep bringing it back.
We need to make that a KenPom stat.
So speaking of KenPom
fraud.
Stats.
He's a fraud.
You just threw that out there for me.
No, he's a fraud.
KenPom, kind of a fraud this year, but not with this stat.
Okay.
Wait, is he a fraud or not a fraud?
Well,
we've taken the policy position on this program that Ken Palm is a fraud, at least for this year.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's a fraud right now, except for with this stat.
Okay.
So basketball analyst guru Ken Pomeroy, puts out this thing where Johnny Furphy, right now in Big 12 play, is the number one player in the conference for offensive rating, which is a metric that measures a player's offensive efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best player in the Big 12 at this. It's like his points produced per 100 possessions. Who cares about that? He's number one in the conference. And if you start comparing it to like the history of college hoops players since they started measuring this, he's in a really high tier. I don't have it in front of me. Also, he doesn't get like they have to look
is
at how much
he only shoots
usage
six times
is,
a game?
Right? Yeah. So that makes his efficiency crazy. But basically, he's one of, if not like the most efficient players in the country.
That's wild.
In conference play.
Yeah, I still think he's a fraud. That is KenPom.
Not Furphy.
No, Johnny Furphy, not a fraud. KenPom, definitely a fraud, but I still like that stat. You can get some things right.
No, yeah, he got one thing right.
He got one thing right.
Johnny Furphy's efficiency.
You know, here's the thing. I wonder a little bit about Johnny Furphy, and especially as it relates to that stat, because we just talked about it. He shoots the ball six times a game, which drives me crazy.
Yeah, we want more Furphy.
We want more Furphy. And I get feedback from time to time. You look at a box score, just full-on box score hunting, and you look down and you're like, why is Johnny Furphy 5 of 7? And that was it for the game. 5 of 7 for 16 points with nine rebounds.
Yeah.
And, like, and you know, his plus-minus is off the charts. Everything else is great. Didn't turn over the ball. And of course, the logical take is, why can't we get 7 to be more like 13? Why can't he shoot the ball 13 times? And the feedback is always, and I think it's fair, is he can't create off the dribble. And so his shots are either in transition or in three pointers, and that is it. And occasionally he'll do a little, you know, a little spot up deal too. Is that fair? And if that's the case, why can't we just do more three pointers? Like, is that
we got a big guy that gets doubled, the other HD that we can say his name, Hunter Dickinson.
We can say Hunter Dickinson.
So
yeah,
I mean, how did he get playing time? By not taking bad shots and by crashing the glass.
Understood.
He's not a great defender.
Understood. That was then.
So
this
now.
This is now. This is lottery pick time. This
35
is
what, minutes a game type.
This is 35 minutes
he
a game,
He should shoot
Johnny
more.
Murphy.
Yeah. No, it's... I think that's right. Like, at this point, what else are you going to do?
Well, then
like,
we talk about ceiling basketball for KD.
More Furphy.
We talk about ceiling... Exact. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Kevin McCullough. I hope he gets healthy like crazy. He's had an amazing year. But we take three of his shots and hand them to Johnny Furphy.
Yeah, in.
That's it.
Sign
I'm
me
not
up.
Saying all the shots.
If you only
instead of 17, have him shoot 14 or 13 or 12 and let Johnny Furphy also shoot 12. We're a better team.
You know, I want to talk about one thing with Johnny. And when you listen to a post game with David Lawrence, or just listen to these interviews that and Johnny's very innocent. He's having these fun
he's
little
such
like
a sweetheart.
Oh yeah, he made some comment, you know, in January, and they said, you know, coaches really told me I just needed to get to the glass a little bit more better. I needed to box out, and then the next like week he's like averaging 10 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, they just needed to tell me, and I needed to focus on it for.
It's like Embiid.
That's where I was going.
It's like Embiid.
That's where
like,
I was
oh,
going. Like, he can make
I'm
those.
I'm better than everyone here.
He can make those switches faster than anybody else.
Exactly.
Like, where it would take some players to their junior or senior year to really develop
that
skill set.
A game.
A game or two.
A game, like single game sample size.
I mean, here's something I've kind of heard. The staff loves his fire. So he gave up an offensive or a couple offensive rebounds late in the West Virginia game. Kind of cost KU the game late, even though he's not the reason KU lost, but blew it late. Next game, like, just crashes the glass.
Yeah.
He responds with fire. So they love how he responds to challenges, adversity, and that's, I think, part of what we've seen. KU guys throughout the years, like, who's Bill Self like the most? It's guys who respond and come back with fire. Maybe not too much fire, Brendan Green.
Too much fire.
but a good, healthy fire.
Yeah.
And I think they'd like to see that from, like, El Marco Jackson. You know, he's not responded that way.
One of my favorite things about KU Twitter is the he needs to come back for another year crowd.
Oh,
he
oh,
needs
no.
to come back for another
this
year
is,
Twitter. You know
where
that Twitter, right? You say, like,
oh, yeah.
hey, guys, he's now up to 13 on draft boards, and you tweet it out, and like inevitably there's a he could really use another year. He just you know he could just use another year.
Hey Kevin,
I could use a few million dollars.
What if he could use another year?
But again, here's what I'm getting at. What if he actually could use another year, and he decides that he wants to do that? Think about a returning Johnny Furphy. I'm just saying, just sprinkle in a little Johnny Furphy returning.
All right. It's getting harder and harder to believe.
What's getting harder and harder? Exactly.
Yeah.
That is what I'm talking about, Johnny Furphy returning.
It's gonna be hard to keep him away. I mean, because if he is going to be...
Sorry about that.
No, it's good.
If he's going to play this well through the rest of the year and into the tournament, like it's a perfect showcase for him. Like, this is when people actually, scouts
right.
actually start paying attention.
Right. If you go to the Final Four and Johnny Furphy averages 17 points, like, he's gone. Like, he's gone.
For sure. But wouldn't you take that?
Yes.
Oh, you would take that. Yeah.
Yes. In a heartbeat.
Everyone
wins. I hope he just leads us to the promised land. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Things would have to change. The first person who mocked Furphy into the lottery, Sam Vecenie, he's really good. He lives in Australia, though. So I'm wondering if he's just a bit excited.
Yeah, but...
But now others are doing it, too.
But he's here, and Sam's there.
Whoa. Yeah, but he's...
Whoa.
Yeah, so they swapped.
Whoa. They swapped.
Yeah, they swapped.
Is Sam Johnny? Johnny Sam.
That's it. We did do a bit on this show a couple weeks ago that no one actually knows anything about Johnny Furphy, and is he real?
We were thinking
catfished by Johnny Furphy.
He's a psyop.
We have no idea. Like, if you try to find his background, like, if you try to look... You won't find anything about it.
There's like nothing. One photo of him on Instagram from a place called Monkey Island.
No. Kangaroo Island.
Kangaroo Island. That's the one. You want to come up with a random place in Australia? Kangaroo Island.
All of his bios were made by like 100% are AI driven. Like every single one of his bios is 100% AI. We are not sure if Johnny Furphy's real, but at the same time, I'm just happy that he's ours.
The hologram Furphy is working. 100%. Simulation Furphy.
Whatever it is.
Simulate. Yeah.
Don't care. Matrix Furphy. Like, whatever it takes. As long as it brings us another banner. I don't care who's out there.
Right now, do you think he comes back?
I would say, gun to head, no.
I say no, too.
Probably
not. What about you?
Not if he's a top 15 draft pick.
Right. Why would you? Why would you?
Well, Self has always been on the record, too, about, like, you're in the lottery. You should go. You go.
And the argument to be made, if we're going to be like that on Twitter.
Let's do it.
You're going to be like that?
Look at Grady Dick. Grady Dick was super skinny going in the NBA. Not had a great year because he's super skinny.
Furphy's even skinnier, I think.
They held him out for a couple weeks just so he could, like, bulk up a little bit. I mean, physically, not ready. But he's got the shot. I mean, he wouldn't be a productive NBA player for a couple years because of the physical part of that.
But you still draft him.
Yeah.
And it's not a great draft.
That's the other thing.
It's not a great draft. You look at the time. You look at the money. I think Johnny's got it. But
this is a pivot, but my least favorite KU Twitter is like maybe we don't want Hunter Dickinson back Twitter.
Ooh, I hate that Twitter.
I think that's a quiet Twitter.
100% true.
Like that's a minority.
There's a lot out there of anti-Hunter Twitter, and
blows my mind.
I struggle mightily with that Twitter.
All right, let's get to that. Is Hunter coming back?
I think there's a good chance. I think KU right now, I'd say yes.
I'll say the odds. We'll just do even odds. Even odds.
Oh, I'm taking him
right now.
I'm taking him back.
If he's not going to go in the draft, like this is the best place for him. He's going to make some money, and he's going to have a chance to win a national championship.
You know what hurts? Him shooting like 8% from three for the last 14 games.
Not ideal.
That hurts him a little bit. Because that's what he needed to do. He's got to come show he can stretch. Because he shot like 40% from three for his career, and he's like one of 50 for his last 50?
Yeah.
Something's going on there.
I wonder if he's been banged up, but also
I think he has.
Just people are like, oh, I want to see him try harder. It's like, no, he's just not that fast. If he was faster, he wouldn't be at KU. This is the agreement. This is the deal that was literally signed. Like, yeah. So,
I'm sorry, 20 and 10 is not good enough anymore.
Yeah.
The
dude is not the issue for KU.
The points and the rebounds have never come easier for anybody on this roster, or in Bill Self's history. Never come this easy. He can be 20 and 10 and you kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
There's nobody else like that.
It's fun to watch him. He's so good around the rim. I mean, it's so smooth, too. Like, the ball, I've said this before, but the ball always goes off the glass so soft and silky, and it swishes even off the backboard. Have you noticed that?
He doesn't hit the rim. He doesn't hit the rim.
It doesn't. The rim is never involved in Hunter Dickinson's game. Except for three.
All right, Michael, it has been fun having you here.
Thank you, guys.
Glad you're back.
Enjoy the game.
I've been away. Cannot wait to be back in there.
So tell us. Thank you for having us. Quick little nugget. Tell people where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing on Saturday.
He's going to get hammered on Mass Street. No, I'm just
running down. Bring your green hat.
Down Mass Street.
Hearings Hangout. It's presented by Home Field Apparel. We're going to be at the Bull. That's Bullwinkle's Bar. You have to be a KU Hearings subscriber, and you have to RSVP because, like, we're going to be at.
How do you become a hearing subscriber?
KUHearings.com. You can go to my Twitter at @M_Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. It's a free email newsletter. You'll be informed on KU stuff, hopefully, and your feedback goes right into what I'm writing about. So thank you guys for giving me that opportunity. I'll be there from 12 to 4 on Saturday and bouncing around Lawrence.
Then we'll go do some HD stuff.
Careful with that. Don't say that loud.
Wow. You outed me for that.
I hope we beat Texas so far.
Yeah, like by 30. Like a meat necklace.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. All right, Mike.
We need a meat necklace game.
It's time for a meat necklace game.
Yeah. This is the one.
Here's the thing, though. If we lose, it's your fault. That's the problem. With you coming back, making a deal out of it. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. Anyway, all right. Thanks for being here, man. Let's get out of here.
Don't put that on me.
Sorry, this way.
That's how it works. That's how it works.
I know. Yeah. I know.
At least a year. You have to wait a year. That's the statute of limitations.
All right, Mike, thanks for being
here.
Thank you,
guys.
All right, we're going to come back for a quick bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk some fun stuff. Kevin got into his basement. He's got some stuff he wants to tell me about.
I got some stuff to talk to you about.
From his basement.
Just come back for that.
Kevin's demons after this.
Yeah, stay tuned right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All around the world.
Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Kevin Meckley, Andrew Payne here. Andrew, it's that time of year where you go down to your basement, like you do.
Everybody
does this.
I don't know where we're going.
You gotta spring clean. You gotta get rid of stuff. I'm in this get rid of stuff mood. I just want to get rid of everything. I just want to start, like, you know, just get rid of stuff. Stuff that's been around forever. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Pack up and move to Kangaroo Island.
Maybe.
Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. I'm not opposed to that. I kind of want to after you look at all the stuff. And my wife has challenged me. She says, you have too much stuff. I'm not a hoarder. But what I do hoard and what I found as I've dug through a bunch of crap is I hoard KU stuff.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. It's kind of like you were a Boy Scouter. You were an American Legion junior. You've been trained on what to do with the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
You don't throw away the American
flag. Yeah, you have to properly dispose of the flag.
You've got to treat it with respect. I kind of think the same way about Jayhawk things in
sure.
general.
Well,
is that true? Does that resonate with you?
100%. If I see something with a Jayhawk on it, it's really hard for me to just throw it away.
Yeah.
Or recycle it, or like,
find
yeah.
A good home.
And you need to find a good home for it. That's exactly right. I had once this.
And the best home for it is still at your house.
Well, so far, it's mostly been still at my house. I once had this light up neon Jayhawk. I had it all through college, I had it in the dorms. We hung it right over Mrs. E's. Everybody knew about it.
Bet your wife loved that, just right in the.
I wanted that thing, and she said, "You got to get rid of it. You got to do something with this thing." There was just nowhere to put it. It was just hanging in storage. I didn't have a good bar for it at the time, and so I literally found a bar in Kansas City to sell it to. And I said, "I'm going to give it to you for a great price. One stipulation is you have to put it up and you have to keep it forever because I want to come visit my Jayhawk. And so far, it's still there. So here's the thing.
Say, like, on loan from Kevin.
Yeah, I wish they should.
From the collection of.
So, Andrew, here's a little bit that I came up with. I found the most random KU stuff in my basement. I'm going to ask you, is this a real thing? You can play along at home. Is this a real thing I had that says KU on it, a KU our item? Or not? Or did I just make it up?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you play along too. Everyone at home, play along. Beckett, here we go. First up, a KU dog chew toy. It had a little ball and little things on the end of it.
Oh, that's definitely real. You probably get that for your dog, Barley, at some point.
Are you live? Can you get down here?
Yeah, I say it's real.
You say it's real? That is real. I did find that. I didn't have a dog at the time when I got that. You know, you never mind.
Because you might get a dog. You might get a dog and your dog needs
that
toy.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
So I did keep it, by the way. Barley does not use it. Number two.
You use it. It's really for you.
It's really for me.
Yeah.
Number two. A Jayhawk, it's an anti-slip phone pad that you put on the dash of your car, and it, like, sticks your phone to it, or, like, a key, or, like, something else.
I remember those. Those were popular, like, 15 years ago.
Timing adds up.
I'm going to say that's real.
You can't go
just
real?
Just because the detail there.
Uh-huh.
Before, so I'm going to go fake.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. Here's the thing. I looked at it and I was like, I could probably use that somewhere.
Of course you could. You okay. probably could still use
I could
it.
Use
don't
it.
Get rid of
I
it.
I opened it up. It's still very sticky.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to do with it. All right. I did not throw that away. Number three, a 2004 Women of KU calendar.
You're not getting rid of that, though. That is real.
That is real.
That was a specific year.
That was a good year. It was a good vintage.
It's a good vintage.
It's a good vintage.
Definitely had that, and you told your wife you got rid of it, but you probably didn't.
What do you think, Beckett?
I got real. I got real.
Real? It is a real thing. I did have one, but I did not find it in my basement. I'm not sure where it is.
Because you know exactly where it is. It wasn't in your basement. It's in your office.
Yeah, it's in my office.
Like,
that's right.
Every couple years, the calendar cycles around, so it makes sense. So it's like, the first is on a Tuesday.
Back.
The second's on a
it'll
Friday.
Come back. Yeah. I've been waiting to 2039 for that thing to come back through. All right, here's another one. KU string lights that say rock and chalk, and you plug them into the wall.
Too easy. I'm saying no.
Yeah, that seems like something you just bust out often.
100% real, and I actually hung them up.
Oh, good. See, this is part of the spring cleaning. Sometimes you just repurpose something or it finds a new home.
She walked
in your
down, and she's like, what are you? I'm like, I'm hanging these above our workout area, you know, just in case. And so I think they look great.
Probably
gets
you pumped up.
You have to see them when you come over. And here's the next one. A crimson Jayhawk sports bra.
Oh.
Not mine.
Okay.
Not sure where it came from.
I probably real.
If you said it was yours, I'd say real, but now I'm going to go fake.
Correct. Correct. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I did not find one of those.
Sure.
Found a different bra. It was the problem.
Blue. It was blue, not crimson.
That's what gave me the idea. The next one is a KU toy semi-truck. A little semi-truck that's about like this. A Jayhawks on it.
My son has one of those. We got it at a rally house not that long ago, so I'm going to go real.
Okay.
I'll double down on real.
Real. 100% real. Except this one is... some very old one. This was like 1995 version. Uh-huh. So there you go. KU pom-poms.
Oh, that's real.
Gotta be real.
Real, real. Kept those. Thought I might, you know, have a daughter someday, and sure enough, I did, and she loves them. So yeah, there you go. I found 100-plus Jacques Vaughn basketball cards.
That is true. I don't know if it's 100-plus. So you definitely grew up in the time of... where basketball cards were big, and Jacques Vaughn was big, and so you probably have a bunch
locally.
Not exactly amongst in the NBA. Amongst this, like, a small community here, you probably had a lot of Jazz, a lot of Spurs, Jacques Vaughn cards. I'm gonna go fake because it's probably like 99.
I have no idea who Jacques Vaughn is.
Oh,
it is a long time ago.
Beckett, we got some talking
my
to do.
My favorite Jacks of all time. Yes, they are 100% real. I think there's like 200. Okay. For some reason, I bought a lot of those. I found a ticket to the KU-Missouri 2012 game.
Well, I love it when I find old tickets. Like, I'll put on a jacket, like an old jacket. Mm. I'm like, oh, this is a KU versus Coastal Carolina in 2013. Or this is, I have a couple of those that I now use as like bookmarks.
Sure.
And things. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll say it's real. I love finding old tickets. You don't get tickets anymore.
You don't get tickets.
You don't get
it's all on your
tickets.
Phone. What do you think?
I keep all my tickets. I'm going to say true.
Real. 100% real. I found a bunch of tickets. Some games I don't even remember, but a lot of games I do. Some good ones in there. I found an unopened pack of KU Thunder Sticks. Those are the things you blow up and you bang them together. You
I
know?
Remember Thunder Sticks.
Yeah, they don't allow them anymore at Allen Fields. Remember, like, there was a game that something happened.
Yeah, they're banned.
And they were banned because they were so loud.
They were loud.
So loud. Did I find an open pack of KU Thunder Sticks?
Probably not unopened because you probably used them. You don't have self-control to, like, keep those.
That's fair.
And so you had to have blown them up and used them
That's
in the
fair.
Moment.
I love those. Those are electric. I'm going to say true.
Yeah, it is true. And I 100% used them, and I found those on the ground somewhere, probably, and just put them in my pocket.
You stole them from someone.
Yeah, I stole them from someone. Yeah. So I do have those, and part of me wants to blow them up, and when I do, I'll make
sure
I throw
them. Well, if you throw them away, use them at least once.
Oh, I did not throw those away. No way. No way. Are you kidding me? By the way, I haven't thrown any of this crap away. This is all important stuff. Next one, Andrew, I found a $5 Ameristar chip from when I played blackjack with the Morris twins at Ameristar.
Ooh. You did you have them sign the chip?
No,
you shut up.
Table. You're not gonna have somebody sign. You're gonna
try
to play
the
game.
Morris twins. They would have liked it. Did Marcus end up on a team? He's gonna try to be on a contender.
Yeah,
he got released from the Spurs.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm gonna probably say this real because I know the story.
I cashed all my chips. I'm going to say false.
Correct. I would 100% cash that chip, but I did play with him and Curtis Townsend at the same table while they were playing for KU. What can you do? I found a 1983 KU media guide.
83? That's probably from your dad. I'm going to say that's real.
I got real.
Real. That was the year I was born. A Rex Walters signed basketball. It's okay if you haven't heard of Rex Walters, Beckett. There you go. He's shaking his head no.
Rex Walters is a friend of the program. He's been on this radio
show
before.
Right.
I would say that's real because that's like your wheelhouse. That was like Rex, probably 93. Prime your age getting signatures. Mine as well. I believe I had a Rex Walters signed basketball as well. So I'm going to say that's real.
I'm a K-State guy, so I don't know all the KU lore.
That's all right.
I'm gonna go true.
It is true, and it was actually a Washburn basketball camp version.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go.
The next one, a picture of me and Roy Williams at Roy's basketball camp, but I have a butt-cut hairstyle right down the middle.
That is definitely true, because I've seen all those pictures before. Not of you.
Everybody has.
Everyone has that photo, yeah.
I would love for that to be true.
Yeah, it's true, 100%. A last one here, a folder of all the free-for-alls I got printed in the cans in, which is the student newspaper.
Are you kidding me? You cut them out and it's probably real. You thought you were clever. Like, I got him the free-for-all again today.
It was Twitter before Twitter. It was like for those that don't know, it was like you would message in to the Kansan, which was the newspaper, some quip, something funny, and some of them were all over the place, and they would tweet or message. They would put them in the newsletter, the newspaper, and that was it. Yes, and I did find that 100%.
Yes, that's real.
Yeah,
all right. I think the moral of the story is don't get rid of your KU stuff.
I'm not getting rid of any of it.
Don't get rid of your Jayhawk stuff. This stuff is important, and if you do get rid of it, you may jinx the season.
That's
so
right. Yeah, don't get rid of anything.
That's what you got to do. All right, that's our first hour here on Jayhawk Talk Radio. We're going to have some good stuff coming up. We're going to talk about the tournament. We haven't talked about the tournament much. There's a big basketball tournament coming up here in a couple of weeks, Kevin. Did you know this?
I did.
All right, I got Rex from Barstool.
Yes.
Talk about some national stuff, and, you know, maybe we'll get some other stuff about stuff we shouldn't throw away. But anyway, that's coming up on Hour 2. That's here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We are back in Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got Bobby Regan joining us soon. He had to step away for 1 second. We're going to talk mock selection committee talk. Mock selection committee. Have you heard, Andrew, now they do this deal where they release the top 16 seeds, the four line and above, early, and they show the thought process, I guess, of what the selection committee is thinking. I kind of like it. Like, part of me likes it. It gets a little bit more, you know, interest into the
tournament. I think so. I think it draws a little bit of interest. I think it was more interesting in the years past where they're trying to just create content, you know, get people talking. But I think, you know, bracketology and bracket talk is so ubiquitous now that everyone kind of knows where people are and everyone's kind of got some consensus on that. So to see the actual committee put those numbers out, like, oh yeah, that lines up with Lunardi almost perfectly, or that lines up with Jerry Palm almost perfectly with a couple exceptions, we kind of know. I mean, they kind of started this several years ago to kind of demystify the process, to show
this is how they
come up with this. It's not just randomly throwing darts. So they have this. They released it in February. This is where we would be at. In the past, I think we've been angry about where we are, and we've been, oh, we should be higher, or sometimes we've been high on these things. But this year, they put us as a 2 seed, as the number 8 overall.
Feel pretty good about that.
Kind of feels right.
Feels right, yeah.
We could, I mean, I think the consensus is we're somewhere like a lower 2 or a higher 3. Some places have us, you know, swapped with Iowa State. Iowa State is a 2 and Kansas is at a 3, but I'm not too concerned. It doesn't seem like they're punishing us for anything crazy. And this is coming after the Texas Tech loss, by the way, which we conveniently have not talked about on this radio show as of yet, and we probably won't. But we're here in the middle of the season. We're a provisional 2 seed in this tournament. But, you know, we've only got up to go. So what do you think about this spot? We've got a couple other spots. Houston was obviously a 1 seed. Iowa State was a 3 seed. And then Big 12 kind of just dominated, you know, through those top 16, had 5 teams total, which is kind of insane to think
about.
That
is crazy.
And then
not surprising.
Not surprising, but it's just it shows the difficulty of this league. So what do you think about our position now going into the tournament and where we're headed?
Yeah, I think, to your point, I think that's right. 2 seed feels good. You know, it was coming on the heels of maybe one of our not best stretches. There's still an outside chance for a 1 seed. I think Probably unlikely. And so our ceiling is probably a better two. So I think you put me on a two line, I'll feel pretty good about that. Obviously, the draw is what's the most important, and I feel good about it. Now, the question, though, as we look at this, I got a little bit of PTSD about the selection committee last year.
Yikes.
I don't know about you, but we were sitting in these chairs yelling at some point partway through the season when we learned of a man's name of Chris Reynolds.
Oh, Chris.
And we were joking.
Chris Reynolds.
We were joking, joke-hating Chris Reynolds about he was the chair of the committee.
A little truth to that.
And we were joke-hating Chris Reynolds in advance, just in case. You know, just in case we should actually hate Chris Reynolds.
And you know what? He earned it.
He actually earned it. We were in front of that Chris Reynolds hate. He goes on national TV and tells everyone why Kansas, who at the time had 17 quad one wins, was less deserving of the number one in the Midwest to Houston and their 7 quad one wins.
It was just a bunch of word salad of stumbling and stuttering and saying, oh, they're both teams. He didn't say anything. He made no coherent thought about the reason, which after, you know, at that point, we were potentially thinking we were going to be the number one overall. We had an outside shot at that. We were thinking like one or two. And to end up in four, going to the West, it's brutal. Brutal. Houston gets that spot. And so, anyway, we're gonna try to play this up this year. So Chris Reynolds gone. We've got a couple other folks we need to know about. You did some research on this.
I did.
Who are we going to pre-hate, Kevin?
We're going to pre-hate the chair, Charles McClelland, the SWAC commissioner. I assume that he's going to get it wrong. And because they normally get it wrong, that's why I assume they're going to get it wrong. So that's what. Actually, let's pause here for a second because I want to finish this thought. But we got Riggs on the phone, so let's bring Riggs in because he might have a thought on this. Is he in? Patched in? Riggs, you joining us?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey, you caught us right in the middle of yelling at the selection committee makeup. So that's what we're talking about here in Kansas City on a Thursday night. How you doing?
Good. I mean, you guys should have no problem with it because you guys are always a one seed or at worst a two seed. So Kansas fans cannot complain about the committee.
Last year we complained a lot, and we were a one seed because we thought we got the wrong one seed,
wrong
and we
one
were
seed.
Mad. We were really mad about it, and so we're trying to figure out what we're going to be mad about this year.
That was it.
But I do think the committee is set up dumb. Like, why do we have ADs on the committee?
It should be
people, like, you should have a couple ADs, don't get me wrong, but it should be a mix of people, and I talked about this with Sam Vecini. I don't remember if it was online, offline, whatever it was, I was talking to Vecini about it, of like, how do you not have people that are in the sport day in and day out that can look at more than just the sheet and be like, well, yeah, this loss happened because they didn't have players who came back two games later and have played the rest of the season. Like, there's got to be a balance of knowing what's going on, understanding, like, there's really not a difference if you beat the 47th team in the net or the 60th team in the net. And then, like, have the bracketing principles. But I also hate the bracketing principles. Like, why are we so worried about geographic location? Like, make it as even as possible. Like, I was talking to somebody about it the other day. Like, I was thinking 2017. Obviously, I'm a Kentucky fan. We were the two-seeded, and UNC's bracket is the one-seed because we were closer to Memphis. And it's like, no, I'd rather be in the worst bracket than play close to home. Like, fans will travel. It doesn't matter.
100%. Well, hey, man, thanks for joining us. Sorry about the mix-up on the time. That was on us. We are happy to have you. Listen to a lot of your stuff. You are one of the, I would say, maybe the preeminent college hoops guy at Barstool. Is that fair? Would you self-proclaim that now?
No, we got Titus now.
So oh, that's right. You do have Titus. All right. Titus is one of our guys, too. That's
my guy. I got to give it to him, yeah.
Fair enough. We'll allow that too. Well, look, we wanted to bring you in just to talk a little bit of the kind of high level stuff, but we'd love to hear your take on the Hawks since this is a KU focused program. Although we talk about all of it,
yeah.
What's your take on the Jayhawks this year?
It's going to sound weird, but like I can't figure them out. Like I keep thinking that they should be on the list. Everyone now is doing the list of national title contenders,
sure.
Right? How many teams can win a title? And I think I have them on there, but I'm also like, can they? Like, they always feel like they're only playing with four players. Now, I know Furphy's gotten better, and you're getting help. Like, it's not as – and, like, Jackson's been getting better. It's better than what it was, in December, early January, where it truly felt like it was 3-on-5 for the majority of the game. And, I mean, your three was always really good, so it didn't matter as much. But they keep losing on the road. And I know they just beat Oklahoma, which was big. But it's like, looking at their schedule, and it's like you have the loss to Marquette out in Hawaii. You beat UConn, but that was at Fog Allen, where, Kansas just doesn't lose. Then you lose, you have losses to UCF, West Virginia, Iowa State. I'm not going to, penalize that by any means. Kansas State in overtime, Texas Tech, and it's like, you don't play on the road, but you don't play at home either in the NCAA tournament. That's why I just can't figure them out, because I want to believe in this team in the sense of, being right if I'm making projections and everything. But I don't know how much I trust them, which is weird to say about a Kansas team.
We think that too. We've kind of gone through all those emotions as well. I mean, I think ultimately you have this starting five now that I think you can put up against any starting five. But when you start to go deeper than that is when you get into a little bit of trouble.
Right. Like, what happens if Dickinson gets two cheap fouls?
Yeah. You're in trouble.
Which, right. And then, listen, it's the NCAA tournament. We don't know how it's going to be ref. That first weekend could be refed super tight, and Dickinson plays physical in the paint. All it takes is one ref to focus on that and, two fouls in the first 8 minutes of the game, and it's like, okay, let's just say Kansas is what, a 2 seed? That 2-7 game, there's not that big of a jump anymore from a 2 seed to a 7 seed. It feels like either that, you're talking on the line, that's probably be like a 5-point game. It's not like going to be a, and this is all assumptions, obviously, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be an 11-point spread or something crazy like that. So where, one break and it's, you're looking at a tie game and 2 minutes to go.
I do want to get to a couple other teams. I know you're an SEC guy, and us being Jayhawk fans here, I do want to talk about Missouri a little bit. How bad is Missouri, and do you like the strategy of betting Missouri to lose out, just doubling it up every game?
It's a little ladder strategy. Just bet them to lose every game.
How bad are they?
They're bad, and I feel bad because, they had injuries, right? Like, it's not like this isn't the team they were supposed to have the entire year. Now, I'm looking at who they end with. At Arkansas, they could win that. They're home to Ole Miss. They could win that. But you're at Florida, you're home to Auburn, and you're at LSU. Losing out is not out. I probably the favored to happen. It feels like they'll get one, though. It feels like they'll steal one. Maybe home to Ole Miss, but they're bad. And I don't think Dennis Gates is a bad coach by any means. Like, he gets these guys to play hard; they just can't close the game.
He's
like,
safe.
A lot
right?
of their losses are close. I don't think he stinks. Like,
no, he's safe. Like, he's not going anywhere. This is just a kind of a season from hell type of deal.
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't think he gets. I don't think anyone's going to go out and hire him and. Missouri ain't going to fire him. They're a year removed from, granted, they're also a 15 seed, but they're a year removed at least from being in the NCAA tournament winning the game. But I don't know. Like, Missouri is such a weird job to me, and what the expectations they should have.
So what's your...
Because there was a time they were good.
Yeah, there was a time. Back in, when was that, Norm Stewart days, or... I'm just. I'm kidding.
When they lost to
Norfolk.
When they lost what Norfolk?
Norfolk State. Yeah. It was we were
2012. Kim English.
We were there. As KU fans, there's a couple things we delight in. That's one of them. Talk to us a little bit about you mentioned the teams that can win it all. Everyone's doing those lists. Yeah. I'm sure you have a list. Who's on that list?
So I think in terms of true national title contenders, you have the obvious ones of. UConn, Houston, Purdue, that's everyone, no doubters. I would say Arizona, I would say, and then this is where it gets weird, because, like, I can't picture Rick Barnes winning a title. And I know Tennessee is good, but it's Rick Barnes.
Understood.
I can't picture Ryan Young from Duke winning a title. And, like, I'm just trying to, like, picture that Monday night in April where one shining moment hit. And if I have to see his big, dumb face on stage, I'm going to be furious, first of all. You know, Auburn and Alabama, I think they're good enough to win a title, but so I guess I'll throw up, like, there feels like there's maybe, like, 11 teams that can win a title to where I guess I wouldn't necessarily be incredibly surprised, but it's starting to kind of feel like Houston, Purdue, UConn, maybe Arizona, and then a gap to everybody else.
Yeah, I guess
and then,
that
like,
was
another gap from there.
That's the follow-up, is who scares you? I mean, is everyone seems a little vulnerable.
Everyone is vulnerable. Like, yeah. You can't, like, I know you're not supposed to look at the year prior, but, like, how can you say Purdue's not vulnerable? How can you say Houston would, like, they're amazing defensively, and I like Jamal Shedd a lot.
Yeah.
They can struggle offensively. UConn, again, we've seen, like, if Klingon gets in foul trouble, they change who they are. And I think they're the least vulnerable of the three, but I also will bet against history that we just don't see teams win back-to-back titles. Like, there's a reason it hasn't happened since Florida. But everybody seems vulnerable. So that's where I think this tournament's going to have a little bit of mayhem.
Before
which
we get out of here,
starting to become the norm now too.
So you talk about your top 11, but give me a team that's making some noise that maybe, you know, doesn't have the record right now, who might, you know, storm into March or we're not paying attention to.
I'll stick with the Big 12. I like Baylor a lot. I think Baylor is a little undervalued. They have, at least two NBA players for sure, in Misi and Walter. And then, Ray J. Dennis is a guy, like, a really good guard. Drew has won a title before. They're vulnerable, don't get me wrong, but they're a team that I think people should, like, talk about more in terms of Final Four teams. And then from there, it's just, you know, can you win two games? So I think Baylor is a little undervalued. You know, and then you start guessing when you start, you know, going into, like, the 5, 6, 7 seed type teams.
Yeah. Well, one thing we do know is that I think you touched on it. This one could be a lot of fun because anything could happen for sure.
Yeah. I don't think it could be as crazy as last year, but I think you'll see something similar.
Right on. Well, hey, bud, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you very much. Give Barstool Reagues a follow on Twitter, one of the best out there on the sport. Man, appreciate you coming on.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. That was awesome. That was, you know, it's good to get a flavor from the Barstool folks. They've kind of really made a name for themselves in some college basketball lately. It's a good follow.
And they
make it fun. They make it fun. All right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Johnny Furphy. We're going to talk about the Jayhawks. We're going to talk about Texas Longhorns. Got a big game coming up.
Horns down.
Maybe talk about some BYU. I don't know. But that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So let's get down to business. Let's get down.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kevin Meckley here, Andrew Payne. We got Beckett Rasmussen just dropping the beats tonight. Appreciate you, man. We got to get you out on Westport or something, brother. He's got his turntables. Look, we got a little bit more to talk about on this bracketology stuff, Andrew. It is that time of year. It is late February in my brain. It is like a week away from March. We got one more day in February this year, which kind of sucks because I'm ready for March.
Yeah. These leap years, they withhold it from us for an extra day.
They're taking
it from
us.
We don't want this like random February day. We want March.
I'm ready for March.
We're ready for March.
I've started, it's the time of year where you start to take a peek at bracketology a little bit more, where it starts to make sense too. Like, some true sickos are looking at it in January. Like, there's some, like, absolute sickos. You know who you are.
It's all of us. If you listen to this show, you're probably one of looking. Them. Yeah, you might even look at it in November. Oh, like, geez. Hey, I'd take it. I'd take hey, Lenardi, 11-16, bracket 1.0. Hey, if this is what it is, I'd take it.
So, look, we've got the some bracketology coming out. And we talked a little bit about the selection committee, too, which I think it'd probably be good to finish that thought. who's on the selection committee? We got the chair, Charles McClellan, who we already don't like for reasons that we don't yet know. But we'll find him, probably. We got Jamie Pollard, Andrew. This is the Big 12 representative, ooh, the Iowa State AD.
Suspicious.
Is that a little suspicious? And then we have the following commissioners, the SWAC, the Sun Belt, and the Big Sky commissioners. You know, the one thing that I know about the SWAC, the Sun Belt, and the Big Sky is that is a lot of teams coming out of those conferences into the field of 64, right?
Maybe they can just, okay, here's our auto bid, and they can focus on the rest.
And that's
they're
it?
Not, they're,
yeah.
not, they're not busy lobbying for their conference.
For their
it makes
conference?
It easy. Yeah, so it's like your Big Ten's trying, ACC this year especially, like, oh, we're such a good conference, we need to get more than three teams in. Like, sorry,
no,
dude,
no.
Not really.
No, here in the SWAC, we got a lot to watch, and we've been watching you guys. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but, man, I'm with Reeks. We got to do something to this committee. We got a bunch of crusty ADs. We got some strange commissioners of leagues. Why can't we get, you know, some basketball people on this thing? Like the people that actually understand what's going on day in, day out in college hoops.
Well, and this started off as a bit, and I've taken it more seriously, is that we should try to game this system is ultimately what we're trying to say.
Okay, go on.
And I didn't believe it at first, so now I'm kind of coming around to my own BS here, Kevin. Because today I saw that the SEC and Big Ten are trying to game the college football playoff.
Correct.
To get more teams in just automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And if because
set the rules, you win
think
the game.
That they and they want to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they're just they're the
better.
Aristocrats of college
they
football.
Think they're better than us.
We can
yeah.
automatically establish our position with our teams beyond anybody else before the games are even played.
Yep.
If they can do that there, we can do it in basketball.
Why can't Kansas always be a one seed? Like that's exactly
that's
right.
That's what Ohio State wants. That's what the new Texas and the SEC wants.
Sure.
If they can do it there, we can
Why
do it
can't
here.
We do it here?
Here you go.
Stack the selection committee with the assumption that we always have blue bloods at one seeds and just go from there.
You know, it is an absurd thing, but when you see it in real life, trying to happen in front of your eyes in college football, then it makes it not so absurd.
If you were to sit down...
I'll match your absurdity with my absurdity.
If you were to ask ChatGPT, hey, just predict, guess, on the data that you have, who's likely to be the one seed in the Midwest? Just ask that question. Most of the time, if it's got a pretty good machine learning, it'll be, Kansas. Like, that just start there, and then we'll fill out the rest of the bracket. Is that fair?
Speaking of apparel companies... First seed in the Midwest sounds like a good name to a company.
I like the first seed in the Midwest.
First seed in the, or so, something
seed.
Something like that.
One seed in the Midwest.
One seed Midwest. Like yeah. that's just that has a good
one seed.
Feels
Midwest.
Like home. Feels yeah. like home.
We got to think about that.
We got to keep shooting for
something
that.
Something there.
We got to keep. Purdue's going to get it this year. But yes. so anyway, it's just an interesting thing that. This committee thing is weird. You don't necessarily trust it. It's worked out for us in the past, though, Kevin. Is that true? We can't complain too much.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think so. Normally, I'm the guy who says KU fans overreact to the bracket release. Normally, I'm that guy.
And you should be because usually the release is really good. Last year was a problem.
I went bananas.
And we still got a one.
Just, and that's the craziest part. But we had one of the best, literally the yeah. best resumes ever. Number one strength of schedule, 17 quad one wins. That is bananas. And I remember going on a Spaces that night, and I was out of town. I was with my family somewhere, and I was so mad about this bracket release that I went outside the hotel because I didn't want to do it in front of my kids. That's how mad I was, yelling into a Twitter Spaces void that enough people were listening to. I'm sure someone will remember. I was so mad. Because I knew what was going to happen. I knew we were going to lose to Arkansas or we were going to lose to the next team who I can't remember who I was already mad at.
UConn.
Oh, yeah, UConn. Oh, yeah. Weird, right? That was the, yeah, weird.
UConn was the four.
That's what it was.
And Arkansas got blown out by UConn.
I'm still, you're just bringing bad memories.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Anyway, let's move on. The Big 12 bracketology is what we're talking about now. Kansas was a 2 seed in that release. Houston a 1. Makes sense. And Iowa State a 3, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, I think they're in our range, right? Some folks have us ahead of Iowa State. Some folks have Iowa State ahead of us. But they kind of feel like in our tranche, our group.
Sure. And Baylor, who Riggs likes a lot, is a dark horse, a 3 as well. And then we start to go down the list a little bit. BYU a 6, Texas Tech a 6, OU an 8, TCU an 8, Texas a 9. We got a bubble team in Cincinnati, and I did not notice anybody, including K-State, on the bubble.
Yeah, anywhere. I believe these numbers are from Bracket Matrix, by the way. These are the consensus.
The consensus
numbers.
Hey, Beckett's on the other side of the glass. How do you feel about K-State not being on the bubble at all?
Well, we've lost 7 of our last 8, so
that'll do it.
What's the one?
That happens to be you guys.
I don't remember that. Was the 7 of 8?
It couldn't be that one.
I went into overtime.
No, I don't remember. It doesn't ring a bell.
No.
Not only did we cover the spread, but we actually won.
No, I don't.
I don't remember that.
It doesn't ring a bell. Huh, interesting.
But they're not on the list. I'm just looking at the list here, and they're not
on
this list.
Yeah.
Could be on a different list, not on this one.
Might be on a different list. It might be an NIT list.
Oh.
That's the list. We had the wrong list.
If the Wildcats make the NIT, I'm betting the Wildcats so hard in the NIT.
There might be something fun there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, it could be interesting. So, Andrew, any reaction to all this?
This is a good conference. We're used to this now. We see some new faces here with Houston and BYU looking pretty good. You got Cincinnati who's fighting for their lives trying to get in. But man, Big 12's tough. Usually when we had a 10 team league, you could get most definitely 6. Some years you could maybe get 7, and that was kind of Big 12's great with 7, but you were looking at almost 10 teams getting in from this conference.
And probably should get 10 teams. And we talk about it every week in the Big 12. Every night is a Sweet 16 game or better. Every night. Every night is a Sweet 16 game. We watched the Iowa State Houston game the other night. I mean, that's an Elite Eight game. It's a Final Four type caliber game. I mean, it's every night in and night out, is a Sweet 16 game.
Yeah, you had TCU BYU recently. I mean, that game, that's a second rounder or a Sweet 16 game. I mean, that's just
every night
a random
Monday.
Pick a game out of the hat type of game. So,
absolutely,
crazy to think about. I don't know. I put this league up against anybody. I don't think that's a overstatement. I think everybody kind of agrees here too. I mean, I think the top is good. Kansas is kind of on the downstroke here, but Houston is leading the pack with the 1 seed. But I wouldn't count off the Jayhawks if they get some wins late to make some noise in at least improving their standing a little bit. But and you could say the same for Iowa State and Baylor.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Kevin. I just want March to come.
I'm ready.
We got one more
ready
week.
To flip the calendar.
Yeah, 1 week from now we'll be counting down. Till midnight, and then March will come, and then the air is just a little different.
Mm-hmm.
The air is just a little different. You kind of a little more crisp, a little more like a little electricity in the air.
For sure,
you're feeling it. All right, we're gonna come back. We got lots to talk about. We got two big games in Allen Fieldhouse coming up next couple days. We got Texas on Saturday. Got BYU first BYU conference game. It's gonna be electric.
It should be fun
next Tuesday. So we're going to preview those. We're going to talk about what we need to know about these teams. That's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in. Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got a big game coming up on Saturday in Allen Fieldhouse. Kansas Jayhawks inviting in for one last time as a member of the Big 12 Conference, as a standing member, a card-carrying member of the Big 12 Conference, the Texas Longhorns from Austin, Texas. Andrew, We have a pretty big game. It's a pretty important game, I think, for both squads. Texas could use a marquee win, and Kansas to continue the we're the best team in the Big 12. We're just haven't quite shown it yet. Conversation. they can bring that to the stage. So what are your thoughts on this Texas Kansas?
So you're saying they're a card carrying member of the Big 12?
Currently, they're a current card carrying member.
They walked up to that two-story office complex there in Irving, Texas, right by the airport.
Yeah, I passed it yesterday.
So did I. walked up to that concrete two-story building and just raised the card above the air and set it on fire.
They haven't demagnetized it yet, but it's coming.
Well, Texas, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Correct.
You know, I'm still a little miffed about this. Texas, and I don't know who I'm sorry to see or most glad to see between the two. I go through the variety of emotions, and ultimately I don't care. But Texas seems to be one of the historical rivals of the Jayhawks. If you think back, you know, since 1996, who's been the team to challenge the Jayhawks most or to push the Jayhawks? Like, who's there at the end where you know, a couple games left in the conference season, who is within striking distance, or who are we trying to catch, or who's trying to catch us? And more often than not, it was Texas. And so you remember back to, you know, that 2003. That team was a really good team.
Really good.
And then you had your Durant teams, and then you had
that Durant game in Allen Field. That's one of my favorite games I've ever seen.
Then you've got the Thomas Robinson game. I was on the cover of the Lawrence Journal World with my dismayed face after we gave up a big halftime lead for that game. And then, you know, you had some good Shaka years and some lean Shaka years. And then you had some hope with Chris Beard, and then, you know, so it's been an interesting tale for this program. Ultimately, though, I think it's one that's kind of driven by not living up to the potential.
Yeah, I think that's right, which we heard a little bit of Reeg's take on Rick Barnes earlier.
Yeah. How long have we heard that this Texas basketball program or Texas athletics generally is a sleeping giant?
Yeah, well, sure.
If they just get a coach, you know, if they just get a coach, just watch out. They had some stuff that happened, but then not the consistent long term. But I will miss that rivalry and that, you know, team that kind of pushes you towards the end. And it looks like Houston's going to be the better program going forward. So we got an easy program.
Coaches matter, though, man. Coaches matter.
He's mad.
He's
a mad guy. You know, and he's not going to be around forever, but his son will step in and see if he can keep that program going. So we've got worthy replacements. This league next year is going to be 16 teams. It's going to be bonkers. We don't need Texas or Oklahoma for this basketball league. It's going to be even better with them gone. But, you know, this will be the last time we'll get to do the HD and Allen Fieldhouse. And,
bummer.
You know, let's make it a good one.
Yeah, look, the one thing I know about this game, and this is the most important part, is that no matter what happens, we need to have a very coordinated, horns-down discussion with the students. There's a time and a place for using vulgar language. And I think in this time and place, using the vulgar language of horns-down is appropriate. I think you should do it. I think it's okay. This is the time. They're leaving. What are they going to do? Are they going to come back? Are they going to be mad? Are they going to leave the conference because you said horns down to them? No. They're already doing that. This is the time when you be aggressive with your horns downs. All the way down. Two hands. Double fisting the horns down. All the way.
I don't think how you can avoid that. I mean, we've had this conversation before, and this is the more you try to fight against it, if you're Texas, they've been dealing with this for years. I don't understand what the problem is.
I want 16,300 horns down.
The moment you show that it bothers you,
oh, it's great.
The moment you've shown your weakness,
you've shown your weakness.
Why? It's so dumb. It's so dumb. So anyway, it will be a marvel to witness the defeat of the Longhorns. With 16,300. Actually, what's double that?
Yeah, it's 32,600 horns downs.
Horns downs. in a stadium.
We need them all down. Everybody's doing horns down.
You want to talk the game a little bit? You watch much Texas this year?
A little bit, yeah.
They've got a quite interesting roster. Yeah. They got a transfer in that Max Asemus from Oral Roberts in his fifth year, who is the highest scoring player in college basketball. Dude can put the ball in the bucket.
Sure.
Eventually transfers, from Oral Roberts to Texas. Tyrese Hunter, old friend from Iowa State. You know, he was great for the Cyclones 2 years ago. Has an okay sophomore season last year. You remember that Texas team last year was full of fifth-year seniors.
Yeah.
Full of fifth-year seniors.
They got some more.
Tyrese Hunter was the only one who really wasn't. But Dylan Mitchell's back, playing a little bit. And somebody that Bill Self pointed out today, this Weaver, Chendall Weaver, he doesn't necessarily fill up the stat sheet, but he says he's their Energizer Bunny.
He's the driver.
He's their driver.
We called him the driver in his presser today. So there you go. I mean, it'll be a good matchup. The big guys can shoot threes. That's always a little scary.
Very scary.
And that is probably the biggest factor in the game is are there guys who can shoot and sometimes make three-pointers, make you more than they should. That's usually what happens.
And usually when you're playing in a place like Allen Fieldhouse, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
A little tougher.
You've got a difficult environment to compete with. If it was played at the new Moody Center, which we only got to play in once, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's unfortunate. We only got to play in there once. It'd be maybe a little different story. But, you got to keep those guys off the three-point line, force them to take maybe, bad shots, long twos, and with our bigs and with potentially Hunter, potentially KJ being drawn out to the three-point line, can we rebound? I mean, this is a team that can maybe give you some trouble rebounding just from the variance of it. But, I'm excited to see this game. I think a couple of things I want to see, and we can talk about this, generally in terms of previewing the Kansas team. The question around this whole program right now is health, and it's Kevin McCullough. Bill Self said today in his press conference he did not know if Kevin was good to go.
Yeah.
A lot of it was going to depend on how practice went today. He wasn't necessarily like, oh, the anticipated answer was, oh, Kevin's got some rest. He'll be fine for Saturday. No minute restriction. Based on what he sort of said with Oklahoma last week, wasn't that clear cut today? So we'll see. I don't know the answer. What do you expect? I'm not asking you to predict if he plays, but if he doesn't play, does this game feel differently?
Absolutely. we've seen the version of KU without him. We're not as good without him. When we talk about the depth of this team, you replace a Kevin McCullough with a Nick Timberlake and the quality of play goes down, no matter what, any way you cut it. Even if Nick Timberlake is having an efficient game offensively, the quality of play still goes down. Bill Self calls Kevin McCullough one of the smartest players he's ever coached from a basketball IQ standpoint. That's important to have that kind of person on the floor. And he's had a pretty dang good year from an efficiency standpoint. It's not been great recently, but he's still good, and he's still an awesome defender.
And you say it hasn't been great. It was just the K-State game.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was everything else has been pretty up to his own standards. The K-State game was the one lacking, and that was the one he looked the most hurt. And so I think it goes back to the underlying theme: a healthy starting five for this Jayhawk team is of the utmost importance. There's no room for error in terms of next man up. These are your five you're rolling out. It's pretty much what you're going to have.
Yeah, I just want one thing to happen, and I'm going to set the odds right now pretty high. I mean, if I was setting a book, I'm going to put minus 250. This is a very likely scenario that something to happen, and that is Hunter Dickinson putting a horns down gesture in the middle of the game.
Wow.
Wouldn't you say that's about a minus 250? Like, he's going to do it.
Likely to happen?
He's going to do it.
He's going to get...
Does he do it in the game?
He's going to get wound up in the crowd. I think he does it after the game.
He's going to shoot a three, make it finally, and on the follow-through down, just bring his hand down and just bring on the horns all the way down, put them right in the holsters, and keep running backwards. Is that...
I just hope there's some controversy about it. I hope Rodney Terry gets mad.
Rodney Terry mad.
Rodney Terry is not as mad as Kelvin Sampson, but Rodney Terry is madder than Kelvin Sampson when it comes to horns down.
That's classless. That was the quote. That's classless. This is the UCF game when the UCF guys, again, in the handshake line, after, of course, after they said good game, good game, good game, turned around and went, boom, horns down. Dropped them both.
All bets are off for this game.
Double-barreled horns down.
You don't have to see these guys again.
You could do full-on horns down.
Maybe the Big 12 tournament. But
maybe the Big 12
tournament. Now's the time.
It's time.
No restrictions. If you want to do a quick preview, Kevin, here of BYU coming in on Tuesday.
Yeah, that should be fun. First of all, I'm a little sad that we don't get to go play
in Provo.
In Provo.
Next year.
Because I really want to go.
You'd like Provo.
I might like Provo.
You like Provo.
What? Why do you say that?
You just feel like a Provo guy.
I'm a Provo guy?
Yeah.
You know, I am a Provo guy. They got the mountains, right? Yeah. They got mountains. The mountains are blue right next to me. Mm-hmm. I like blue mountains. Do they have blue mountains there?
It's right in the mountains.
Right, it's right in the mountains.
It's literally right there.
They don't have the blue mountains, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do.
Okay.
Sort of.
I like it when the mountains are blue, and you're telling. It seems
next
to me
year,
like you're a little
year
nervous.
Next year we got to go to Provo. Next year
I would
we
like
gotta,
to go
we
watch
gotta
Provo.
Convince someone to sponsor us to go to Provo.
I want to go watch a football game in Provo.
That'd be fun.
That would be
no,
good.
They're basketball. Okay, now a whole different deal. Like when we talk about teams entering the Big 12, the home field advantage for BYU is a feather in the cap of the Big 12. Like, it is one of the best environments. And
correct.
This is coming from, I'm never going to give up Allen Fieldhouse as being number one. But, man, watching some of those BYU games, they do
a great job. Yeah, I can't wait for those BYU-Utah games.
Oh, man.
I want to go just be there for that.
That's where we should go.
We should skip the KU game. I hope they're back-to-back. Oh, man.
Make it a weekend.
They got Jackson Robinson. Here's the thing. They got some good dudes, man. They got great offense.
They can shoot threes.
They can shoot a lot of threes. When they make threes, they win. They got older guys. Life experience. They got some experienced guys, a little older, a couple years older, usually the most. That's the shtick about BYU whenever you play BYU. But man, that I think that could have actually a lot of fun, depending on depending on 3 points. That will be it. That is the literal. There's no
3-point variance. Is the
nothing else
theme
to look
of
at
the
in that
year.
Game.
Maybe it's the theme of all college basketball. All right, Kevin. So we got Texas this weekend, big HD game. We got BYU on Tuesday. and then we've got three games to close out at the year with at Baylor, K-State at home, and then we go to Houston. Then we got the Big 12 tournament. We'll be here. It'll be here soon.
It's coming, man. It's right. Coming fast.
We're going to wrap up. We're going to get some closing thoughts. I'm going to ask a couple hard-hitting questions, and then we'll get out of here. Then we'll write to it. Then we're almost March.
It's basically March after
then
that.
We're almost March. Okay, everybody, stick around for our closing thoughts right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, final segment here at Jayhawk Talk Radio. Kevin Meckley, Andrew Payne. Look, we have now just a couple weeks left in this season, Andrew. I think by and large, folks would say it's an underachieving season so far.
It's early.
The narrative can still be written. The narrative can still be written, but this was the preseason number one team. With the receiving the number one most sought after transfer in the transfer market, Bill Self returning to be Superman after a rough off season and into last season, everything was looking right, and here we are almost to March, not a one seed, two seed. I mean, it's not that far off. But I feel like when you read Twitter, you look around, you talk to people. Even Riggs said he wasn't sure if KU was on the list of teams capable of winning the final tournament. You will be hard-pressed to find anybody who has KU among the teams that are likely to win the tournament. They're flawed. They're not deep. They've struggled. They can't win on the road. Their point guard is a zero on offense, can't shoot. You hear all these things, right? I just can't quite get over this thing that we come back to, which is we somehow have two guys who are literally up for All-American status and some version of All-American and a lottery pick. How is it possible that people are saying this cannot be a team that can go deep in March?
And the other two have national championships.
And the other two have rings.
Yeah, the other two have rings. I'll say this.
And you're Bill Self.
This is something that you and I'm surprised that you and I, we haven't talked about on the show, and you and I personally haven't talked about this yet. And this is probably one of the most important things, of things that we would pay attention to. And that is, and I think, and I'll get to this, but I think when we look back and we tell the story of this season, we'll mark this as the turning point. And that's that Bill Self got kicked out of a game.
Ooh.
He got ejected from the Texas Tech game. We will not mention that game. Hitherto shall never be mentioned. However,
I even said live, Bill Self's getting kicked out of this game.
He got kicked out of that game, and he has never been kicked out of a game as the coach of Kansas. The last time he was kicked out of a game, he was coaching Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
Gets his two techs. He wanted it.
Oh, for sure. He was done.
I think he let it know.
Needed to be done.
This is what's happening. Just speed up this process.
I remember someone being like, boy, he got kicked out fast. I was like, dude.
That was the point.
Magic words were going.
That was the point.
The magic words were spewing fast.
I kept the TV on. He wanted didn't want to watch any more of that game.
I can't blame him.
Like anyone else. Like, everybody wanted to turn that game off.
I do like that as a turning point.
And he did. But then after that, you know, go on the road. Road Warriors now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That maybe that could be the turning point. He busted out a tool that he's never had to use before. He's gotten one technical, and we've seen how that sort of worked.
Yeah, it sort of works.
In game, but this was for his team.
You needed to go.
Never happened before.
Need to go a little more nuclear. Just a little more nuclear. They had to drop the bomb.
And, you know, he's been a little more easygoing this year.
He has, for sure.
He wasn't easy going that game.
No, but...
Like maybe this is him slowly building up to that.
He's been pacing himself a little bit?
Yes.
Like
he's
that.
Been saving himself all year for this explosion of anger energy that's going like to happen that. You know, this last 6 weeks of the season.
I like that. There's something there. We look back at seasons past where there was a turning point. You had Remy said doing something. You had the players-only meeting.
Henry Tease?
Yeah, Henry Tease. You had all the things that have happened to where guys ultimately turn it down at the right time. That might have been the turning point. I'm willing to buy into that narrative.
If I need to get kicked out of this radio show right now to make us win this Texas game, I'll do that.
Just get on out of here.
Yeah.
All you got to do is say...
Got to say HD.
HD. Yeah.
HD to Beckett over here.
Beckett will kick me out. He'll kick you right out.
And then we'll get all the way out of here.
And
then I'll just be so angry. I'll cheer so hard on Saturday and we'll win the game.
Okay. Well, give me a prediction, Andrew. I'd love to hear as we get out of here. Just we sit here today again at a time when I think a lot of fans, even KU fans, are not quite sure about this team or have question marks or lots of marks on this team. Do you think, or give me a prediction on where is this a Final Four team? Is this an Elite Eight team? Is this a national championship team? Is this a losing the round of 32 game? Give me a prediction now. Two predictions. One, what you think will happen, and two, what you'd be happy with.
Well, okay, what I think will happen, I think this is a Final Four team. It could be. They've got five guys who are capable of cutting down nets. Well, I'd be happy with, oh, man, that's tough because I've got such high expectation for this team. If they make the Elite Eight, I'd be happy, I guess. I probably wouldn't be thrilled. I mean, I've got high expectations. We have high expectations every year. What do you think?
Yeah, Final Four bust. I mean, it's hard to be preseason number one and be happy with an Elite Eight. That's just where I'm at.
That's what this team is. This team's built for that.
You can't go into March with the and it's wild because you look down and you see just all the hate about Hunter Dickinson, and you see the hate on Bill Self.
That's Russian bots. That's Russian bots. That's Missouri bots trying to disrupt the internal peacefulness of the Kansas fandom. Thus, that's not a real opinion.
I don't know, man. I think they look pretty real, but it's fascinating to me. It remains just fascinating because we have everything you'd want. You've got an awesome center. You have a stretch three. You've got an Energizer Bunny who can rebound the ball like crazy. You have a quarterback. I mean, you got a lottery pick. You got freaking All-Americans. What else could you want in a team? Even if the makeup doesn't feel right, doesn't always look right, doesn't always fit right, you can't give Bill Self those pieces and then be like, this team can't make a run.
Yeah, it's all about fitting the puzzle pieces together, and I think that the solution is, and why this team may feel differently from here on out, is that he's decided to get rid of a bunch of those puzzle pieces and just focus on the five puzzle pieces that he needs. When you're doing this, when you're grabbing your shirt and you're asking
you're driving a jersey, asking for a breather,
not getting that.
He is ignoring you.
Yeah, you were staying in.
If you are a starter in the second half, and you're pulling on your jersey for a break, good news.
There's a
timeout coming soon.
There's a TV timeout coming soon.
It's coming soon.
Yeah.
And in the tournament, you got a longer one. So just hustle through it. Deal with it.
Put your hands on your head. Breathe deeply. open the air pathways. Because when those five guys are on the floor, they are one of the most efficient, if not the most efficient, teams in the country, offensively and defensively.
You don't need much more than that. You just don't.
I think that's the story. If he can make those five guys work together, keep them healthy, sky's the limit. No ceilings. No ceilings.
All right, Andrew. Let's get the heck out of here. Thank you to Riggs. Thank you to Vernon for coming in. We appreciate everybody listening, as always. Horns down.
Careful.
Horns down.
We're accumulating FCC
fees.
Get
all the horns down. Let's go beat Texas. Let's go beat the Cougars. Let's get out of here. We're going to be 3-0 on the stretch after the kickout. Let's get out of here.
Hey, just mark it. That's the spot.
That was the turning point. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening in. 810 WHB, Sports Radio 810, Rock Chalk. They should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about